Have you voted yet? Okay. If you've not voted, I would highly encourage you to get out Tuesday and vote. I'm not telling you how to vote, but I'm telling you you need to vote. Okay? And I got good news about the election. How many of y'all would like to hear good news about this election? Okay. On Wednesday morning, when you wake up, after the votes have all been tabulated and counted, and regardless of who the winner is, King Jesus will still be on the throne. And on the day of inauguration, when whoever the next president is sworn into office, even on that day, King Jesus will still be on his throne, ruling and reigning as the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, President of Presidents, whatever, it doesn't matter. He is the top, and it will not change. It will not change. So that's good news. How many of you have ever felt overwhelmed? Four of you have. Okay. For the rest of you, we need to talk about honesty. I have more good news for you. If you ever feel overwhelmed, you need to realize that the numbers are on your side. 2 Kings, chapter 6. You may be very familiar with this passage. Elisha. We've been talking a little bit about Elisha here and there for the last little bit. This is just a small portion of this Elisha. Now, Elisha has found himself under attack from the enemy. Okay. Now, I got to tell you something about Elisha. Had Elisha been a quiet man, had he been a very secularized man, very amoral man, if he had been a very inconspicuous, if it had just been very average, not wanting to stick out, not wanting to speak out, not wanting to speak truth, the truth is, he probably would not have been under attack by so many different people so often the time, right? But that's just not who Elisha was. Here in 2 Kings chapter 6, I'm going to read verses 15 through 17. It says, when the servant of the man of God, now this is Elijah's servant, okay, his helper, when he got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. Oh no! My Lord, what shall we do? The servant asked. Don't be afraid, the prophet answered. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Now, I can just imagine this servant guy going, okay, I see you and I see me. That's two. But I'm seeing a whole lot more out there that are surrounding the city. I mean, you can't surround a city with one person, right? You can't even surround a city with two or three. You got to take, it's a lot of folks, right? And I'm sure he's thinking, going, I hear what you're saying, but it's not registering in my brain because I just can't see this. And so Elisha prayed, open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Now this was some good news to the servant of the man of God. He looked out and went, oh no! They're coming to get us! We're in a mess! Elisha! Elisha! We got trouble. Trouble's coming. Trouble's here. Look. Elisha. Did you know that the devil will always dispatch an attack on someone whom God has used? Okay? If you follow Christ, expect attacks. Now, if you're not interested in the tax, it's real easy to avoid the tax from the devil, okay? And if you want to find out how to do that, I'm going to instruct you how to do that. If you want to avoid having a tax from the devil, simply refuse to be used by God, and refuse to be used by God to influence those around you. Refuse to take a stand. Refuse to speak the truth, okay? And chances are, if you'll just refuse to be used by God for anything, chances are you're not going to be under attack so much, okay? So if that's what you're after. But if you refuse God, you will certainly never experience the blessings of obedience, okay? Now, I don't know about you, but I would rather be rewarded in heaven for all of eternity than to have a life of leisure here and now. If you have a pen and paper, I want you to write this phrase down. Man's panic does not produce God's power. You can get all hot and bothered and get your britches all knotted up. Other phrases that may come to your mind. But Elisha does not panic. What does he do? He points to something bigger than the problem. How many of you have problems? Yeah, all of us. We all have problems. Okay? Whatever your problem is, God is bigger than your problem. And that's where you need to look. We talked about last week. We need to get our focus on Christ. Now, I want to go back to the verse prior to the verse that I started with, go all the way back to verse 14. And it says here, talking about the enemy, the king, he sent horses and chariots and a strong force there. They went by night and surrounded the city. Okay, they snuck in at nighttime to surround Elisha and this city. In the dark. Did you know that trouble often comes in the dark? Trouble often manifests itself when we're in that dark place. When we're in that struggle. When we're in that fight. And we look up and all of a sudden things just went from bad to worse. Right? We done went from the frying pan to the pot. Pot to the frying pan. Anyway, it got worse. Okay. Got hotter. It got worse. It got more painful. The presence of trouble provides an opportunity for the people of God to prove in the darkness what we proclaim in the light. You see, it's real easy. It's real easy for us here this morning in church to say, praise you, God. You're good. You're great. Great and mighty is He. Great and mighty is He, clothed in glory, arrayed in splendor. Great and mighty is He. It's easy to do that right now. Until you drop a compressor, air compressor on your foot. Sometimes in that moment, we don't go, man, God is so good, so great, and so mighty. Nothing my God cannot do. You see, when we're falling down and we've broken something, or when we're sick and the doctor calls and says, I just need you to come into the office. I don't want to talk to you about this over the phone. When we get that other phone call in the middle of the night, I need you. You see, it's in those moments when it's dark that the devil amplifies his attack. He wants you to think that you are overwhelmed and outnumbered. Okay? But what you got to do is you got to go, no, sir. Not with my God. With my God, I am never outnumbered. And I am never, while I may feel overwhelmed, the ultimate outcome, I stand in victory. And you got to remember that. And you have to remind yourself of that. These old bodies, folks, these old bodies, they just wear out. Right? And some of you know more of what I'm talking about than others. But if you don't yet, it's coming. Okay, should the Lord tarry, is coming. What shall we do? Now, Elisha, he responded like a politician. He didn't say, well, here's the plan. I'm going to lay it out for you step by step, and this is what we're going to do. You know, he responded like a politician because he never really answered the question. Did you notice that? If you've been watching any of the debates, and I really don't watch them because I've seen enough of them to know that they don't answer the questions anyway. They have, I mean, you could stand there and you could say, all right, presidential candidate number one, what is your policy, your foreign policy with Iraq? Well, I'm glad you asked that question, Bill. And it seems to me that the Alaskan pipeline really has got a lot to do with that. And here's what my plan is for that. You see, they have a response generated in their mind, already recorded and ready to answer. So no matter, you could ask about flying to Mars. Yes, in the Alaskan pipeline, if that's what their agenda is, that's what they're going to talk about. Okay? And they're not going to answer the question. Elisha doesn't answer the question. What shall we do? You know what Elisha's first word in response was? Don't. It says it right there. First, and at the end of 15, it says, oh, no, my Lord, what shall we do? The servant asked. The first word of verse 16 is, don't. Don't. You see, before Elisha told the servant what to do, he had to tell him what not to do. He said, don't be afraid. Remember, man's panic does not produce God. And sometimes what not to do is more important than what to do is. Don't be afraid. Time and time again throughout Scripture, when an angel would appear to somebody, how did they normally greet? They didn't jump up and go, surprise! No, their first words were usually, don't be afraid. Relax. It's all good. Don't be afraid. Okay? We had to calm some things down to get the perspective right, the right frame of mind. And that's really what we're talking about today is perspective. Perspective. Don't be afraid. When you get afraid, and I know I've been afraid, I've panicked, I've gone nuts. Some of y'all can't imagine that. Others of you can recall that, okay? But in that moment, when you panic, you lose perspective. You lose. What was I saying the other night? Talking about Jacob and Esau. What I learned from that story? Don't make big decisions when you're hungry. He sold his birthright for a bowl of soup. He panicked. I'm going to die, he said. I'm going to die. What use is my birthright if I'm dead? Give me some of that red stuff there. Have my birthright. Do whatever. Well, a little bit later on, he kind of went, what in the world was I thinking? Paul knows he wasn't. He wasn't. He was panicking. I've got to remind us, don't be afraid. Don't panic, because the chances are if you do that, you're going to make a decision that you're going to come back to go, there were probably better decisions to make. Okay? Sometimes what not to do is more important than what to do is. Now, we've been talking about the elections and the news, and I don't watch the debates. I don't watch the news. Rebecca will tell you. Sometimes at the end of a show or something, the news will come on, and I mute it while I'm channel searching so I can find the next channel to watch on, because I don't even want to hear it. And sometimes she'll go, oh, I want to hear it. I want to see that. And it's never good stuff. Why? Because the news is not, their job is not to report the truth. Newsflash, okay? Their job is not to report the truth. It's to incite fear. It's to sensationalize certain things, draw attention. In the same way, it's true with politicians. They don't spend a lot of time telling us what they really want to accomplish. They will tell you all the bad stuff about the other person and how you should be afraid to let them win. Because if they win, it's all going to be going to hell in a handbasket. It's going downhill. One of the greatest threats out there right now is this ISIS threat, these terrorists. And the truth is, they are not really actually trying to destroy all Christians, regardless of what you might think or what you've been told. What they want to do is just instill fear in as many as they can. I'll tell you, like Elisha told the servant, don't be afraid. Do not be afraid. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. If you recall, when Satan was cast out of heaven, y'all remember who went with him, who was also cast out of heaven? His angels. How many? A third. Now, my simple West Point math tells me this. One third got cast out. That means there's two thirds still here, right, in heaven. And best I can recall, two thirds is more than one third. Plus is God. Oh, man. Tell me that you are ever outnumbered. No, you can never be outnumbered. You may feel overwhelmed, but you got to remind yourself, I am not outnumbered. Before you can do, you got to see. And that's what Elisha was telling the servant. Hey, before we do anything, you need to see something. Don't be afraid. But Lord, show him what we're dealing with. Show him the real story. Show him those things that he cannot see right now to give him comfort, to give him encouragement, to give him power, to give him resolve, to give him that to know that we're on the right side and we will remain victorious. Elisha, he doesn't downplay, he doesn't deny the presence of trouble. Okay? Now that's one thing that sometimes Christians try to fight off these struggles with and go, oh, it's just all good, it's all blessed. That's not the case, and Elisha wasn't doing that. He didn't look at his servant and go, dude, it's nothing. What are you talking about? There's been no really trouble out there. You're seeing things in the dark. You're saying, just pray a little bit. He doesn't say all that. He doesn't deny the presence of trouble. He doesn't say, you know, it's just, don't worry about it. He doesn't stick his head in the sand and ignore the trouble. If I just wake up tomorrow, maybe they won't be there. He looks beyond the trouble to see the bigger picture. That's what we've got to do. We've got to be able to look beyond the trouble and see the bigger picture. Friends, you cannot do that without the Holy Spirit. You do not have access to the Holy Spirit without the Son, Jesus Christ. You don't get either of those without God the Father who sent you. Very plain and very simple. If you want to look, be able to see above and beyond your troubles, you got to come to God. You got to say, God, here I am. I realize that sometimes I get scared and I get fearful and I don't want to be. How do I get around that? And he's going to say, you need to recognize who my Son is, the one that I sent for you. Because you're bad. You do bad stuff. You've done bad stuff. Matter of fact, everybody did except him. And that's why I sent him. Because he's perfect. He's perfection. And what did he do? He came to pay that penalty that you owe me. You owe me. You owe me. The penalty's going to be paid. I just decided to pay it myself with my own perfect son. Wages of sin is death. It says, you sin, you die. But the gift of God is eternal life. When you receive Jesus Christ, you don't just receive Jesus Christ. You receive the power of the Holy Spirit. You receive the two-thirds of all the beings in the universe that are there on your side. And you are no longer overwhelmed. You are no longer outnumbered. You are no longer overpowered. Because not only did Jesus Christ die for your sin, he died to give you power over. The gospel message. If you want hope for tomorrow, if you want hope in that situation, you've got to look to Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith. The only one who has the answer to your problem. He has the answer to your problem. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we come before you now. And Lord, I just pray that you will do for this people like you did for that servant. Open their eyes that they may see. Lord, open our eyes to the hope that we have in you. Open our eyes, Lord, to show us not to fear. Lord, open our eyes to show us that we are not alone. To show us that there is more at stake here than just our comfort. Lord, open our eyes to show us that you want to use us to show your mighty power in troubling times. Lord, open our eyes that we might see Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith, who endured more than we will ever have to in order to give us right standing with you. Lord, open our eyes that we might be called to action with confidence in the Almighty Creator and Sustainer of the universe. Make us courageous. Make us bold. Make us brave. Make us strong. Make us move. And make us useful for you. Lord, we have sung time and time again that we're not satisfied with ordinary. Lord, may we never be satisfied with ordinary. Lord, we want to be extraordinary because you've called us to be extraordinary. You are extraordinary. You've called us to be extraordinary. Father, show us extraordinary things. Continue to build our faith. Make us strong. And Father, in the middle of the trial, in the middle of the struggle when it's dark outside and we feel overwhelmed and surrounded, Father, remind us to look out, to look up to the hills from whence cometh my strength, to look up and see that we are not alone. But not only to see it, but to believe it. To believe it so much that we're ready to act upon it. Lord, call us. Call us to action. But I don't remember who said it. Can't recall right now, but somebody said this, something kind of like this. Evil prevails when good men do nothing. Lord, help us not to bury our head in the sand. Help us not to stand idly by. Lord, help us to get involved. Help us to stay, take that stand. Help us to become active. Not just, I'm not talking about political stuff, Lord. I'm talking about for you, for eternal stuff. Which matters a whole lot more than this political race. Lord, help us to see the big picture. Lord, open our eyes. Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus. Show us, Lord, in Jesus' name.